Right now, as you know, the health insurance model, the hospital model, the doctor's office model is all predicated on the sicker you are, the more money the system makes. So the system has to change.
Welcome to a new evolution in the treatment of serious diseases and technologies for the extension of lifespan. Join Dr. Robert Hariri, co-author of New York Times bestseller, Life Force, on an exploration of the medical breakthroughs that are changing health as we know it. This is Piloting Health.
Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Bob Hariri with Piloting Health, and I have a really, really special guest with me today. One of my friends, partners, one of my flying buddies, Dr. Bill Kapp, the CEO of Fountain Life, one of the premier companies providing precision medical services. And Bill and I have been working together for quite some time, and I'm thrilled to have you, Bill.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Bob. It's a real honor.
So, you know, Piloting Health is dedicated to sort of our mindset, which is that all the advances that have been made in the aviation world establish, in my mind, a great model for what we can do in healthcare. And you and I, Bill and I, are both surgeons. You and I feel the same way, that the pace of innovation and adoption of new approaches to healthcare, if they mirrored what we see in aviation, could potentially reach the same level of efficiency, safety, success, and so on. Would you tell us a little bit about, first of all, your background, how you and I got together, and then what you're building in Fountain Health?
Sure. Well, I appreciate that, Bob. So, you know, my background is an orthopedic surgeon, and I have a master's degree in molecular biology, which I looked at. And I thought about doing research for a long time, and I spent the next 15 years perfecting my orthopedic craft, and then at the same time, always trying to bring new innovations into healthcare. So, you know, I built a series of hospitals and surgery centers and imaging centers, and all of that time, I was trying to figure out, how do we lower cost of healthcare? How do we improve the cost of healthcare? But what I didn't realize was that we were working on the wrong end of the equation, meaning we were waiting for everybody to break, which is traditional medicine, and yet we weren't trying to figure out what the root cause of all their illness was, and with 80% of the disease burden being chronic disease now, how do we start to look at the technologies? And really the epiphany, Bob, was when I was at a conference, and you happened to be at that conference. It was one that was headed by Daniel Kraft. It was exponential medicine. Back then it was future med in the early days. And I remember you standing up talking about how healthcare has to change, and that the fact is we don't use the technology we have available to us to detect disease early, not only with respect to detecting early disease, but how do we use regenerative medicine? And I remember you talking about cellularity, you know, probably 8 years ago. And the only difference is you were doing something about it. And 8 years ago, I sat on the back row because I was pretty wed to my ideas that I was right. And I knew sick care, and sick care was the answer. And so I spent about 2 to 3 years sitting on the back row, sequential meetings, listening to all the changes that were coming into healthcare, and finally realized that the paradigm shift has to occur.
You had to do something.
We had to do something different because what we were doing wasn't working. I mean, I had, you know, 9 hospitals full of sick patients.
Yeah.
And we were managing decline. And yet the fundamentals existed to detect those problems and avoid them in the first place. Very similar to aviation. And, you know, I know you and I were talking about that. In the early 50s and 60s, most of the jet aircraft were going down because we didn't know why. And finally, we create sensor technology and preventive maintenance programs. And that's really what we need in healthcare, I think.
You know, it's funny. Because of our aviation backgrounds, you know, you and I both have a kind of a root cause approach to finding out what brought a patient into our midst, what's going wrong, either in the identification and diagnosis of their problem or the determination and the strategy around treating them. You know, in order to be good at that, you really have to understand where the root cause of the problem arose from. And is there something that can be addressed, and can interventions be applied early enough in the cycle that you can maximize the outcome? And I think people often lose sight of that. So you know, for the audience, you know, Bill, aside from being an orthopedic surgeon and have spending many years taking care of patients in the front lines, you build some of the most successful healthcare systems we've had. And I often argue you have to sort of be in it to win it. Surgeons and physicians who have to work in those environments are the best at recrafting them. What do you think about that?
No, I think that's exactly right. I think the challenge is that, unfortunately, we put our doctors in an untenable position, because most doctors are facing burnout today. You know, we've got physicians that are being given less and less tools to do a very complicated job. And unfortunately, the payment mechanisms and the reimbursement mechanisms are not designed to keep you healthy. They're designed to treat you after you're broken. And so I think that, you know, after looking through, and look, my colleagues in medicine, and we all go through a very arduous process to become an orthopedic surgeon or to become like a neurosurgeon or to become a functional medicine doctor. And the reality is, you know, all of the things you learn in the first 2 years of medical school, this is what Dr. Helen Messier, who's our chief medical officer, tells me, you know, they teach you biology, physiology, biochemistry, and then they tell you for the rest of your life, forget it. Don't worry about the systems biology approach. Don't worry about the root cause analysis.
I can hear Helen saying that.
Yeah. So, but I think the reality is that if we don't go back to root cause analysis about why the problem began in the first place, we're never going to fix it early enough in the disease progression. And so right now, as you know, the health insurance model, the hospital model, the doctor's office model is all predicated on the sicker you are, the more money the system makes. And right now, we don't pay doctors to keep you healthy unless you are fortunate enough that you can afford a functional medicine doctor. So the system has to change. And I think that's where the opportunity to reinvent the system. And my perspective is a little different because I've actually been on both sides. I know what it's like to be a doctor. I know what it's like to practice. I also know what it's like to run the hospital. I know what it's like to run the surgery center. I know what it's like to build an electronic health record. And all of that notwithstanding, none of that gives the physicians enough time to really do that root cause analysis. Yeah. And I think that's one of the failures of the system today.
And despite all the breakthroughs in technology, genomics technology, molecular analyses, which can detect at the really nano level the appearance of markers of disease, even with all that, putting it into practice is tough. What I always loved and what we always envisioned when you and I and our partners first thought about it was that we could create a system that accessed all of those great technologies, but in a very rational, well thought out way. It wasn't just throwing money at getting another lab result, right?
Exactly. And I think that, so, you know, we have two gaps. I always call it, you know, we talk about, you know, our clinical latency gap, meaning from the time the FDA says a product's ready or procedure's ready or protocol's ready to the time physicians use it in their practice. And that's about 15 years.
Yep.
So I remind people their iPhone is younger than their practice patterns or their doctors, right?
Yep.
And then on the other hand, it's the other latency gap. And the other latency gap is what we know at a molecular level that's happening versus what's being taught in medical school.
Right.
And that's probably another 15 years.
Right.
So we're 30 years behind today in a world of AI and quantum computers. And the reality is, how do we close that gap? And then how do we educate this new group of physicians? Because currently, they're not being taught nutrition. They're not being taught exercise physiology. They're not being really taught base level genomics. They're not being taught any of the fundamentals in systems biology that's commonly used in functional medicine. And so then the question is, if you're a practicing physician, how do you learn this new type of medicine or this new delivery mechanism? And then how do you harvest all this data into an actionable format that you can make sense out of? And I think that's where artificial intelligence will come in. That's where, you know, having an AI as your co-pilot, if you will, is really the answer, right?
Oh,
because
yeah.
As you and I both know, you can't fly a jumbo jet by hand.
That's right.
The autopilot does it.
And with the advent of the Bitchin' Betty, which used to tell us, you know, we're too close to the ground, that avoided a lot of those controlled flight into terrain problems. So you and I have always said, look, from what we know and from our experience, how do you translate that into a deliverable that everyone can access? And as you know, with you as a co-founder of Fountain Life and a beneficiary, I brought my family here. Even my youngest kids, who are just in their early 20s, have gone through this, because I see this no different than I see an inspection of an aircraft before you fly it. Tell me how is Fountain Life going to make certain that not only through the growth of the enterprise today, how it's going to help really push the field, all of medicine, forward?
Yeah, so I think one of the challenges is, outside of the translational gap that we're dealing with, is how do you democratize access to this information, and then how are we going to put it in patients' hands? So, you know, always held that, you know, healthcare in the U.S. is paid for by three separate groups: individuals, companies that are provided for their employees, and governments. And yet, as of right now, we don't have a way of administering or of educating the public in large spell about what we're currently doing. So one of the ideas, we can sit and we can try to educate the health system, and we can try to educate our colleagues and our doctor friends and the hospitals, and try to convince them to disintermediate their business model, right? To tell them, no, you know, there's a better way, and try to figure out how to translate it. Or what we can do is we can actually build a new system. And I actually think it's not that we don't need doctors and hospitals. We do, and we always will. But if we're going to build, I think, the state of the art on precision medicine, and, you know, and precision medicine is a little bit of a euphemism because it's really used in the field of oncology today. That's what people think about. But really, true precision medicine would be a prescriptive plan for your health going forward to keep you healthy and keep you out of the hospital. So what we're doing at Fountain is we built our four centers, and they're great, and they're business, you know, really a B2C play, business to consumer. But really our goal and what we're excited about is the idea of embedding Fountain Lives in residential mixed-use communities, meaning that the four walls of your doctor's office dematerializes into the four walls of your home. And now with the advent of technology, there's no reason you can't have a primary care visit in your kitchen, because there's really no physical reason for you to show up in the primary care doctor's office unless you need a procedure done, because all the tools that you that he's going to use or she's going to use to take care of you can be done remotely. So now, number one, we solve that problem. But secondarily, embedding a Fountain Life Center where you can get your whole body imaging and all of that through your community association fees is really the direction that we're moving. And so we've just launched our first two partnerships in that regard, because if we can keep you out of the sick care system and we can give you access to the latest information and we can access dollars that have never been used for healthcare before, meaning everybody thinks that health insurance is supposed to pay for healthcare. But the reality is we spend $4.5 trillion worldwide on non-healthcare, what we wouldn't consider healthcare because it's not paid for by doctors or hospitals or insurance companies. But it turns out spa visits, gym visits, you know, there's about a $300 billion a year spend just on nutraceuticals worldwide. And that money is out there. It's just never really been put in an easy to grasp and deliver mechanism. And so this is where we think Fountain is headed.
And interestingly enough, what you're doing is you're making what most people really shy and retire away from, that doctor visit, right? You put it in their hands. I love the phrase you use. You want to be the CEO of your own health. And I think that putting that back in the hands of the individual, it's empowering, right? It's a way to increase compliance all around. It's clearly educational. They learn a lot more about what's going on. And let's face it, just like, you know, the average person who gets on an airplane who turns left when they walk in to look at the cockpit, they go, what the hell's going on in there? The same thing happens in the doctor's office. So Fountain Life, I already know from the people that have taken advantage of the program how incredibly gratified they are to come away from it, not only feeling that they got great care, but feeling that they're now better informed than they've ever been in an interaction with the healthcare system. So that's amazing. So talk a little bit about just the kind of impact we're having already. I know the number of people that we're identifying, people who have phenomenally clean bills of health. These are people who are already conscientious. What are you seeing in detecting things that we can intervene?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's very common that people come in here and our average client comes in or member comes in and they think they're pretty healthy. I mean, these are the biohackers, a lot of them just want to know how to be healthier. And what we find commonly, and you know, our data pool is up around 4,000 people today, so we know that consistently 2% of people are found to have cancer, and 2.5% of people have aneurysms, about 14% of people have a life-threatening or potentially life-threatening finding, elevated liver fat, elevated liver iron, you know, obviously visceral fat, but you know, quite frankly, almost 50% of the population of our quote healthy people are pre-diabetic. And yet, when you go to your traditional doctor's visit once a year, if you go, you know, and you get the 200-year-old physical with 200-year-old tools because the stethoscope was invented in 1817, you're not getting access to the latest diagnostics. And so it's no small wonder that the yield on the physical exam is almost zero, unless it's a late-stage finding. And our goal is to find this early. And so what we find is our clients come to us thinking they're healthy, and are have a rude awakening because they are diagnosed with stage one kidney cancer. Now, they're grateful because now that stage one kidney cancer is an outpatient procedure and they don't have to have chemo and radiation because that doesn't spread into their lymph nodes. And the point being is we know that 70% of people that die from a cancer today die from a cancer that we don't have a common screening test for. So at Fountain, we're trying to arrest that in addition to heart disease. So a lot of our clients come in, think they're really healthy. They have a zero calcium score. They think they're great. They're running marathons, and they've got a 70% blockage in their main artery of their heart.
I love the story about one of the clients who read the book Life Force. Really loved what he saw. His wife was so pleased that she bought him as a gift a visit and a membership here. And that's one of the patients who you discovered. This is a healthy guy, living life to the fullest, highly successful. You discover an underlying kidney cancer early enough that it can be eradicated, right? Dramatically changing the outcome opportunity for him. And then his best buddy decides he wants to come. Yep. And what do? You find another kidney cancer. Now, you know what I liken that to? Do you remember the Alaska Air jet with the broken jack screw, lost control, and unfortunately plunged into the Pacific, killing everybody?
Right.
Immediately in aviation, every single airplane of that type was immediately inspected, and they found 7 or 8% of the airplanes had the same jack screw problem. They were all fatal crashes waiting had they not been alerted. So the example here is Fountain Life shed light on a completely addressable problem, and we have the capability of discovering it. That, I think, is pretty cool.
No, it's fantastic, and especially fantastic for his wife and his kids and his family. Three young kids, and now he gets to walk them down the aisle. I mean, this is the point. And look, I think it's very important to understand that, you know, cancer is the one that gets everybody excited because, you know, we spend a lot of money on cancer therapy. But if we take cancer out of the equation and we eliminate cancer tomorrow worldwide, we're only going to get 1 or 2 years of life expectancy.
Exactly.
So where's the low-hanging fruit? It's in heart disease. It's in metabolic disease, diabetes, all these things that the medical system has gotten so jaundiced looking at that we're just happy if you walk in and your blood sugar's below 150.
Right.
You know, we think that's a win.
You know, it's funny. As surgeons, you and I spend a lot of our time giving people bad news, right? And you know, I always approach it, you know, if there's some way to give good news and to give an element of hope, the best way to be in that position is to find stuff early, right? American Cancer Society learned a long time ago, if you use detection methods and find cancers early, you have the best outcome statistics across the board. Fountain Life is completely poised to do that. So last but not least, I want to talk a little bit about our partnership and relationship bringing next generation technologies into the therapeutic realm. So, you know, you and I both know I've spent 30 years working to turn living cells into medicines. The whole stem cell field, cellular immunotherapy, all of that has been my focus for decades. And we're finally at a point now where we're able to deploy those things. However, to deploy them and generate the data sets necessary to convince the Food and Drug Administration, the European Medical Administration, and so on, as well as clinicians and consumers and patients, that these are the right tools, the quality of the work, the quality of the clinical investigative work has to be enormous. I think Fountain Life is in a unique position to be the premier clinical research environment. What do you think about that?
I think it's a great idea. And I think, you know, once again, you know, we want to try to accelerate these new regenerative technologies into the fore and be able to get approvals for them so people don't have to go outside the United States to obtain those. And as you know, I mean, we don't move very fast when it comes to cellular therapeutics in the U.S. A lot of countries around the world are already moving well ahead of the United States. And there are a lot of reasons for that in the U.S. But if the U.S. population is not allowed to have access to those, they will go out of the country. So our goal is to accelerate that. And so one of the things that I'm excited about in partnership with Cellularity is being able to bring those technologies into the Fountain Life ecosystem under an approved investigational study that's approved by the FDA, so we can collect the data to prove the narrative, which we know from anecdotal evidence and even early stage evidence makes a massive difference, not only in disease treatment, but also in life extension and longevity. And that's really the goal. I mean, one of the things we do at Fountain, we talk about early disease detection because that's the low-hanging fruit, right? One of our co-founders, Peter Diamandis, says, number one, you don't die of anything stupid the next 10 years, right? So don't die of anything stupid. Find out what's going on in your body because we're all optimists about our health, right? And yet we know that we're not going to be symptomatic until it's a late stage process. So would you rather know early or late? And this is a common question because a lot of people, before they come in at Fountain, they go, I don't know if I want to know.
Right.
And I'm like, yes, you do.
You do want to know.
You want to know early because the early can be fixed. The late stuff can't.
It's the equivalent of the pre-flight check, right? You want to do that pre-flight. It's a pain in the neck to walk around, especially in the rain. But man, it is so important to figure out that stuff early.
Yeah, because when you're running through the checklist and you find out, oh yeah, it looks like the right turbine's running a little hot. Right. You don't want to find out on takeoff.
Exactly.
You know? You want to find out before you ever get to the end of the takeoff or runway. But I think that one of the challenges is how do we take not only the, you know, if we're going to get to longevity, really what's what we're shooting for. We want to be able to bridge the next 10 years because the next 10 years, we'll see more healthcare innovation than we have in the last 100.
Right.
So with the technology you and I see on a daily basis, how do you accelerate that? How do you educate the population to know that there's these new innovations coming and that they can access those? And so it turns out you can access a lot of those through the trials that we'll be doing here.
Right. Believe me, I'm tremendously excited. And you know what it tells me? It tells me that not only do the patients and their families love it, when they get to come through this and they leave with a clean bill of health that's really a high resolution clean bill of health, or they find something that's actionable, right? That makes everybody feel fantastic. But you know, this is also a great place that attracts great care providers, physicians, nurses, other healthcare providers. This place is exciting, Bill. You know, I walk through the halls and I see our docs, and you know, this is where people want to go. You go through 4 years of medical school, 4 or 5 years of residency or whatnot. You want to assign yourself and position yourself to be with the breakthroughs, with the cutting edge stuff. That's why everyone works here all day and leaves happy and smiling. So that's another great benefit of Fountain Life.
No, I think so. And I think, you know, we're blessed to have great doctors and great staff because what we're doing here is not the norm, routine, you know, practice. And every day is different. So you're not just churning through 40 patients trying to put the, you know, proverbial finger in the dike to try to keep it from breaking. You're actually able to make a difference. And we're really excited about, you know, some of the technologies that we will be able to bring here, particularly protocols to reverse diabetes, to reverse heart disease, to be able to reverse early and moderate stage dementia. Those technologies exist today. They're just not paid for by the traditional system, so doctors don't know about it. And if doctors don't know about it, they can't offer it.
The best investment someone can make. Talk just for a minute about how Fountain Life is moving into taking the dollars you spend, okay, supposedly to ensure your health and so on, and how you're putting to work, because through the insurance element of the business, this now is, in my mind, the best way to deploy capital.
Yeah, so one of the challenges we had as we built the Fountain Life Centers, we knew access to the technology was going to be great, and we could certainly treat the 1% all day long. But we're not going to effectively change healthcare by treating the 1%. And it'll take too long for that to democratize and to dematerialize into the regular health ecosystem. So we started a health insurance company targeting self-insured employers. And using the premium dollar and re-engineering the premium dollar, we're able to do a lot of the same screening that we do inside our centers, but the highest yield screening so we can detect these problems early. And the reason we did that is because when we've looked at our first 1,000 clients that have been through early on at Fountain, what we found is just by catching things early versus catching things late, we lowered the cost of healthcare by 76%. So yeah. I tell people all the time, you want to find out early, you want to treat it early, because number one, you need to be able to, effectively treat it, but also you don't want to find out late when it gets more expensive to treat, and worse yet, we can't afford the system that we currently have.
Yeah.
Because we're spending almost $4.5 trillion on healthcare in the United States.
I mean, just think about that, right? The ability to really transfer money wasted into money well spent that actually improves the quality of life as well as the length of life. That's where everyone has been hoping the system would go naturally, but it has to be driven by innovations like Fountain Life.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree.
So look, Bill, I can't thank you enough. You're my brother. You're my partner. One of my dearest friends. You're the orthopedic surgeon I go to for all my shoulder and other problems. I can't thank you enough for being here. I'm going to see you at 38,000 feet. You got my six. And thanks again for being here.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it. Thanks.